Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. That's the theme song for The Office, the good folks at Dunder Mifflin. Seth Payne is in the middle of binge-watching The Office.
I'm doing it for my job.
Yeah.
This is
but you're enjoying it.
One of the most grueling things I've ever done for any job I've ever had. And this current job that I have, it's the longest job I've ever held down.
Good for you.
Without getting fired.
Right.
It's fired three times in the NFL.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if you put it that way, gosh, I never thought of it. Actually, yeah. I wasn't fired the first time I went in the expansion draft. That's not getting fired.
No.
That's
a soft firing.
It's a transfer.
Right.
Right?
It's a transfer.
Not, like, yeah. If I hadn't gotten drafted, they worked out a deal beforehand.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to say that, but it almost ended up being like a trade.
Right.
Like the Jaguars were like, we got to get rid of some of this cap space.
Could you please
take these guys as a package?
Yeah.
We won't pull anybody back or anything.
Yeah.
So I didn't get fired. But then I got fired from the Texans. Then like a few months later, I got fired from the Jaguars again.
Yeah, yeah.
After my last, I was old and decrepit.
And then you're like, I'm tired of getting fired. I'm just going to retire.
So I went and worked for myself, and then I fired myself from that job.
How did that conversation
go? Then I got
go?
This job. It was probably like with William O'Brien and Bill O'Brien. When someday William O'Brien fires Bill O'Brien as the head coach. Yeah. Will that is that the ultimate play here? Is the ultimate play
for him to be the GM full time?
Yes. Yes. Like at some point he's gonna get up, he's going to announce that they've hired a head coach. He'll claim no responsibility in the matter, yet he'll remain GM.
This was the play for
him. He's going to throw it in randomly. Like at the end of some interview, you're like, by the way, Anthony Weaver's taking over head coaching duties. I'm the general manager. Wait. This is an organizational decision. I was completely unaware of it.
Right. So you are binge watching The Office right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. And this, you would not shut up for three straight weeks. Have you gotten to Scott Stotts?
I was wondering if I was starting to annoy you, and I now have my answer. Yeah.
This is why I'm angry with you.
Okay.
I thought that you were excited about me watching Scott's Tots because it was the funniest episode ever or something.
It's not funny?
It's the most cringeworthy, awful to watch.
Awkward.
Physically painful, awful. It's a really good episode,
right.
But it's all those reasons. Like, some people really love this cringe stuff.
Yeah.
They love watching, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm. You watch it, and it's almost like, it's a sick masochistic feeling of like you like cringing. I don't like the cringe stuff.
No.
I have a hard time. And this is like, I feel like, does this mark a spot in the series where all of a sudden it becomes much more cringe inducing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it. I mean, look, you're in season six. It's a 9-season series. And you already know this. Steve Carell leaves after season 7. The show just takes a turn without Steve Carell to where it's not more cringeworthy.
Yeah.
It's more jumbled and cluttered and whatever. But watch it the whole way
through. Well, this episode was the first one that BJ Novak directed. He was a producer on the show.
He plays Ryan on the show.
He's the one who's Ryan. Like, he's one of the scummiest characters on
right,
the show.
Right.
He was the first one that directed. This is the first one he directed. So
yeah.
I wondered if that maybe had a little, takes like kind of a darker turn.
It does.
In this episode, and this is, I feel, an underrated part of this. One of these, this is an episode where Michael Scott, yes, we're reviewing an episode of The Office 10 years after the fact. Michael Scott, it turns out, has 10 years prior promised a group of 15 third graders that if they graduated high school, he would pay their college tuition.
Right.
Those of you who watch the show,
inner city third graders,
know and understand that Michael Scott is not capable of following through on this promise. So the first 2/3 of this episode is Michael Scott trying to figure out if and when. And if you know Michael Scott, the whole time you're thinking, there's a chance he doesn't even tell these guys. It's like, what the hell's going on? So he shows up to the school. The kids are dancing for him. They're giving heartfelt speeches.
Yeah.
The teachers are crying.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Scott, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Make our dreams come true. Hey, Mr. Scott, what you gonna do? gonna do? Make our dreams come true.
You came into a loss and made a promise that made us honest, made us realize we don't need to compromise because we can have it all. Because you made it possible for us to achieve the improbable. Hey!
Oh.
Hey! Mr. Scott!
Seth's getting physically ill.
Oh my god, Michael Scott's
watching. Fictitious characters.
Well, and you knew it was hard. Like the first few minutes of the episode, you knew it's going to be an ugly one. As soon as he divulges, he says it was worse than murder. Worse than murder, what he's done.
Right.
So he's riding over to the school, but then he gets to the school and you realize he's actually kept up with these kids over the years. Yeah. He knows their names and everything. They're all really good kids. You can see the admiration and the affection in their eyes they have for Michael Scott. That Michael Scott, like, who's in so many ways not even a human being on the show. Like, you can see he's actually taken an interest and followed these kids along everything the whole time, knowing that it would come to this. That he would have to tell these kids that, no, I don't have college tuition for you. What I do have is what looks to be a suitcase full of computers, but it's not even that. It's a suitcase full of computer batteries, laptop batteries, lithium to be sure, but laptop batteries. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it was so awful. And the whole time, his secretary, Kimmy Schmidt, also known as Aaron is like starting to get into it, even though she knows the deal.
She was singing along with "Hey, Mr. Scott, what you gonna do?"
But then the other part of it, and the thing that makes this episode so hard was there's no release of the tension. It was like the opposite of tantric sex. It was like just constant tension building, including the subplot on the episode is Dwight playing this trick on Jim, our hero, where Dwight is successfully framing Jim into being despised in the office because it makes it look like Jim set up this Employee of the Month award specifically to be awarded to either Jim or his wife, Pam. And there's no release from that. It looks like, oh my gosh, they've actually turned the whole office against Jim. His job's not in jeopardy because David Wallace still likes him.
Yeah.
So there was no comedic relief in this episode. It was awful to watch.
Last night, while you were watching it, you tweeted the following. Oh man, I'm 8 minutes into Scott's Tots, and I'm not sure I can finish this.
Yeah.
Which was replied to by several people, several dozen people, but it was retweeted by J.J. Watt, who said, toughest episode to watch by far, and then in parentheses, besides seasons 8 and 9,
obviously. No spoiler alerts, JJ. No. I should have told him that. Like, what the hell? Yeah, JJ, thanks a lot. I feel like you've spoiled season 8 and 9.
Get back to tweeting about the CBA, all right? 99? Yeah.
So thank you, JJ. I got like 100 new followers because JJ quote tweeted me, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, it's amazing. Honestly, the power of JJ Watt's social media. I looked at it. I didn't really know. I looked at it like a half hour after he had tweeted it. And like his tweet has like 400 likes. I looked, so I go on mine. I've had like 10,000 profile views and all this. It's crazy. So it was a hard one to watch. I will say this. One little thing that I uncovered that I noticed. I did the math right quick. On the drive home, Aaron, the secretary, the receptionist, is trying to make Michael Scott feel better. And she says, well, the principal told me that 90% of Scott's Tots are on pace to graduate, which is well above the average for the school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second. 90% of 15 isn't an even number. It's 13 and a half. I think Aaron made that stat up just to help.
You think?
Yeah, yeah.
Just to help Michael cope with it?
Yeah.
Do you think she's that cagey? She's a bit of a...
She's ditzy.
Airhead.
Yeah, but
ditzy.
I think she's got a good heart, you know.
Oh, she no doubt has a good heart.
She's not, so 90% of 15 is 13.5. So I don't think that's what the principal said to her. I think she made that up just to make Scott is a benevolent fibbing.
Okay, so as you said, I was banging on you for 3 weeks about have you gotten to Scott's Tots yet? Was I right to do that? Like, did it live up to any sort of hype in any sort of way?
I think if what you're trying to do is to set me up to be even more miserable watching the episode, then maybe it was. I couldn't enjoy it. Like, honestly, I think it was looking back on it now, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was so cringeworthy that I couldn't really appreciate it at the moment.
Let me put it this way: was the episode as momentous as my constant badgering of you would lead you to believe in terms of the significance of the episode?
Yeah, I can see why this is like, and this is most of the responses that I saw, people, this is an infamously cringeworthy episode.
Yes.
Like JJ said, it's the hardest episode to watch. It's really, the dinner, people brought up the dinner party as a hard one. I actually thought, like, the dinner party was so over the top goofy and stupid that I enjoyed all of that.
There were no victims in the dinner party.
That's, It's when Michael Scott is like his own victim of all of his awkwardness and everything. It's hard to watch because Jan is just so cruel and evil to him. Like, yes. That's where you first starting feeling bad for Michael Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was I felt like this by far was the hardest one to watch.
Okay, well, there you go. Weigh in. Scott's Tots, hardest one to watch.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.